All right, here we go. Interesting day. Interesting times for this country. Indeed, President Joe Biden now was sworn in just moments ago. Weird to say that. Disappointing to say that. But let's get into it. We'll get into that in a second here. By the way, I think it's hilarious and embarrassing for our country that we've got this inauguration happening the way it is with the 25,000 troops and no one there and this, that, and the other. But everyone in masks just looks dumb. But we'll get to that. This, though, was the scene this morning at the White House, a sad one for much of America. Obviously, some of America very excited about it, celebrating it as President Trump came out, got on Marine One for the last time. You can see it there. Some images there. They are walking out. So, you know, his last trip on Marine One. Again, a lot of people obviously pissed off about this, frustrated, disenfranchised about what's happened, the national discussion, what's going on, etc. A lot of people, even some in this chat room, thrilled about it. Couldn't be a better day. It's like Christmas for them. They don't know what they're getting into, but they're thrilled. That's a great point, Kimberly. As we get to comments later in the show, we'll look at it. But you know, what are the media going to talk about now? But this was his last trip there. You can see it taking off and then heading out to Joint Air Base Andrews, where he got ready to take his last trip on Air Force One. Took off. Lots of the news covered that. Even the other side, because of course they were thrilled about it. But ahead of him taking off on Air Force One for the last time, he said this. Roll two.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we love you. And I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. This has been an incredible 4 years. We've accomplished so much together. I want to thank all of my family and my friends and my staff and so many other people for being here. I want to thank you for your effort, your hard work. People have no idea how hard this family worked. They worked, and they worked for you. They could have had a much easier life, but they did a fantastic job. I just want to thank all of you, everyone. I want to thank Mark Meadows, who's here someplace right there. I want to thank Mark. But it's been something very special. We've accomplished a lot. Our First Lady has been a woman of great grace and beauty and dignity. And so popular with the people, so popular with.
So he went on for a while, but that was just the start. Obviously, plenty in the middle. It was about a 9-10 minute address. But this was the end. I'll show you that real quick. Roll the clip, and then
thank our Vice President Mike Pence and Karen. I want to thank Congress because we really worked well with Congress, at least certain elements of Congress. But we really did. We've gotten so much done that nobody thought would be possible. But I do want to thank Congress. And I want to thank all of the great people of Washington, D.C., all of the people that we worked with to put this miracle together. So have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right. So a classy address. He gave a similar address yesterday. Both of them classy. Thanking lots of people. Going out the way that he should. This didn't end the way that any of us wanted to. He shouldn't be going out, but he did it in a respectful way. People on both sides should be able to see that, should say that. And he said, as he's continued to say, we'll see you soon. We'll see what that means, whether it's a run down the road. Honestly, I don't know if that's going to happen, but a run down the road, other members of the family getting involved. It could just be a media play. It could be all sorts of things. But we'll see. There's certainly some intrigue there, and we'll see where it goes. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on. We'll also get into in a second here how President Trump should be remembered so fondly for so many awesome things that he did, never celebrated in the media because it went against their narrative. We'll get into that in a second. We'll get into how this unity machine that Biden's talking about right now is already broken. 12 National Guard members removed, as we talked about the vetting, that whole program this week. We'll talk about that, what that means for the rest of us moving forward. And it might be nothing. I don't think so, but it might be nothing. But we'll talk about that. Mitch McConnell doubling down on his rhino status. God, he's just getting worse by the day. We'll get into that, show you a clip of what he said yesterday. So much. We'll get into a ton. We're going to get to it real soon here, but real quick, you got to check out Mammoth Nation, guys. They, despite what's happening today, despite what has happened the last couple months here, they are on a mission to keep this country on track, to keep radical Democrats out of office so they can't take us down this radical path. So you got to check them out. It's mammothnation.com. They're America's conservative discount club. It's better than donating to a candidate who you don't know where they're going to change and how they're going to blow with the wind with their policies, how they're going to represent people. It's better than a donation to a PAC. You spend $19 a year. That's it, to join, to sign up. And then you get discounts on all sorts of stuff that you're already buying. Internet, travel, wireless, insurance, you name it. Tons of products, tons of awesome stuff, again, that you're likely already buying. So why not save? So go check it out. If you become a lifetime member like me, they'll send you some free goodies, American flag in the mail. Go sign up. It's mammothnation.com. Great people. Wouldn't tell you if I didn't believe it. Okay. So let's, you kind of do this anytime a president moves on, whether it's 4 years, 8 years, whatever. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that President Trump, accomplished. And you can see, if we're being honest with ourselves, which we should be, we always should be, you can see why the left, so much of them, their followers, obviously the media and the Democrats, but their followers, people who are politically leaning left of center, why they loathed this president so much. And it's not because of him. It's not because of his actions. That's what we're going to get into in a second, which is the exact opposite of how they should have felt. But you can see why, and it's because the mainstream media never celebrated his many, many accomplishments. And they weren't just accomplishments for conservatives. Some of them were. Getting three judges on the court. I think it was like 300 federal judges put in place. Lots of big accomplishments for conservatives, but tons of big accomplishments for all Americans. And they were never celebrated. They always went after him. And they kind of ushered in this new era. There's always been some level of confrontation with the president, but there's also always been more, I would say, of a level of respect for the office, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of who was in there. That's how the past was. But this generation of media and where we have been these last 4 years is remarkable. And not in a good way. They became extremely confrontational. And not just kind of rude, but absolutely rude and aggressive to the commander-in-chief. Again, something we've not seen on that level ever before. Shouldn't have never been that way. Like him, dislike him, agree with him, disagree with him. You still treat the office with respect. And you look at the good things that are happening. There's good and bad with everything, but they didn't do that. But you can see with this huge platform that they've got, that we always talk about on the show, this huge platform, that they led by example. In this case, just a really bad one. Hate this person. Here's why you should hate this person. He's this, he's that. And when most Americans just listen to these same news networks, read these same newspapers, it's dangerous what happens. And we saw it firsthand. Was he perfect? No. Does he have an ego? Yeah, hell yeah, he does. A big one. Was he presidential by DC standards? Not even remotely. I mean, like literally, not even close. But again, what everyone seems to forget is that's why he won. That's why Americans, put him in office. And all these networks that went after him so hardcore the whole time and will continue to for weeks on end because they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to report the news. They just know how to bash President Trump. They're going to have to figure that out. But what they never did, for the most part, again, there's exceptions and everything, but for the most part, they never talked about why he's here. We hate this guy. He's awful. You should hate him too. But they never looked at why is he here? Why is he here? And then, as I was saying before, they didn't, and consequently, a lot of Americans never gave him credit for so many big successes. And I think that history is going to, as the title says, I think that the history books and people are going to look back real fondly on this presidency, this term. When you look at just what he did, if you can shut off all the noise of the mainstream media, including Fox in their early days when they were super, super behind him. Obviously, they're not now. And if you can shut off the noise from, you know, further right conservative networks now as well, all of it should lead you to there's some really good stuff done. I mean, think about it. This president, President Trump, accomplished as much with U.S. foreign policy as any president has. It was remarkable. Completely revamped how we did things in the Middle East. The Abraham Accords were huge. They were epic. Very, very impressive. And will have lasting effect for decades upon decades if they're not screwed up now. Which it seems, from some early chatter, that this new administration does not want to do that because they see, like, wow, that was really impressive. He reimagined how we did things in the Middle East. Think of all the presidents in your life. Every president, every administration that's come through in your lifetime, whether you're young or old, has had that task on their plate. What's he going to do about Middle East, peace in the Middle East? And they've all tried. They've all tried the same plan, though, and just hoped that they would be the guy that got it done. Not understanding how cultures are there. Not understanding how things work. But again, he reimagined it. Now, as a negotiator, as a businessman, he was the right guy for the job. Had an edge there, knew how to make things work, and he made progress that no one else has made. Is the Middle East solved? No. Newsflash, spent a lot of my adult life in the Middle East. It's never going to be solved. But there was progress made there that was not celebrated, and that was amazing. Multiple deals under the Abraham Accords. He also moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which no one had the balls to do before, but was always pushed for. Didn't get, which is funny because the libs always talk about how they hate war. A lot of the history, you know, goes against that, but they always talk about that. This president was one of the first and one of the few in recent decades who's not gotten us into any wars. Reduced footprints in Iraq, Afghanistan. But again, not celebrated, not talked about. Made NATO members actually pay their fair share. You know, we've always footed most of the bill, even though the agreement calls for more from other places. We've just gotten abused, used and abused. Said, no, we're not doing it. Doesn't make fiscal sense. Doesn't make sense according to the agreement and the contracts. So we're not doing it. And he changed how that was done. It's not letting people take advantage of us. Those were all huge wins. And then just broadly speaking with foreign policy, we returned to a peace through strength model, which has always worked for us. It's important. And you could say is required of us. We're the global hegemon. We're the big guy on the block. That's what's expected of us. That's what's needed of us internationally. Keep things in check. Oh, don't do that. There will be consequences if you do that. If you do it this way, if you just calm down for a second, we'll work with you. We'll help you figure this out. We're not gonna do anything crazy unless you do something crazy. And it's worked. It's been remarkable how it's worked. He broke up NAFTA, crappy trade agreement. Even Biden saying the U.S. MCA is better. Tons of other great stuff in trade. The economy here, obviously, in the U.S. was legendary. Before the virus, it was completely legendary. But even after, I mean, you got to remember, too, the surges that we've seen even after the virus or during the virus, whatever you want to say, are pretty damn impressive, too. The third quarter this past year was a record during the virus. So he did a ton there. Did a ton for minority communities. The numbers prove it. You look at unemployment, you know, the jobs numbers, all that stuff. You look at the response and how he improved with all those different communities across the country in this election. Because there was real work done there. not promises that you see in these Democrat stronghold states or specifically down to the city level, where they've been telling these promises to these communities forever that do need help. There's a lot of communities that do need help. And they say, hey, we got your back because it's an election year, but we're not going to do anything. But trust us. And then nothing happens. And then they slam insults at conservatives, at other, you know, groups, race or religion, what have you, as the elections draw near. And then they do the same thing again, rinse and repeat. And some of those cities, literally for 50, 100 years, have not even tried. Well, what if we try letting someone else have power? No, they haven't tried it. The results have been the same. Shocker. So we did a ton there. And you could say, most importantly, this won't be talked about in the history books. The Abrams Accord, some of this other stuff will be. His overall foreign policy was epic. But most importantly, what happened with this election is he forced DC politicians to expose who they really are. Both sides. Both sides. He forced big tech to show their hand, as they are very clearly doing right now. If you're not seeing it, you're missing it. It's happening. It's real. It's disgusting and terrifying all at the same time. But the system's been exposed. These people, whether it's DC elite, politicians, big corporations, big tech, they're really good about saying it. But they don't care about you. They don't care about America. They care about themselves. They've got a system and a game that props them up and doesn't help us. It just doesn't. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. You should see it that way. There's very few, and there's some good ones, but there's very few politicians in DC who are actually representing their constituents, owning up to their promises. Now they get there, and some of them started off with great intentions, but you get there, you get caught up in the machine, and then it becomes about you, your career, your job. Where can I butter my bread next? I'll get some money there. I'll do this. It doesn't help us. It helps them. It helps them tremendously. But he exposed that. So again, you know, whether you think he was presidential or not, or whether you think he did it the right way or not, okay, there's certainly room for debate there. But the outcome, the results that came, some of them were astonishing. Are there areas that he could have done better? Absolutely. Name a president who doesn't fall in that category. But there was some amazing stuff done. Again, he wasn't perfect. No one is. But he got a ton done for America and for Americans. But he did it in ways that made people feel uncomfortable. That's for damn sure. So they chose to attack him instead. Not celebrate things. Not even give him like, hey, you did a great job here. I disagree with you here, but you did a great job here. There was never any of that. It was always just, oh, he did something good. Let's not talk about that. Come up with something bad. Let's hit him on that. But again, you can see why the hatred is there. You can see why it's there from the other side, because they've been peddled this stuff for so long. So long. And it's the only voice. It's the only opinion they're hearing. And then it ripples out because they're all saying it. So it must be true. It must be true. And they've done nothing. Again, I'm going to keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. They've done nothing to celebrate his successes, to show fairness, to show balance. Excuse me. It's disturbing. They just peddle the fact that he's a racist. No, he's not. It's ridiculous. That he's a fascist. Laughable. Not even remotely. That he's a dictator. Which, by the way, all the excuse me, the fascist and the dictator comments I've always said are hilarious, because if he was, he would have shut down the press. He would have shut down people who had opposing views to them, kind of like we're starting to see now at the other side. He would have done all those things. And if he was that dictator that you thought, would he have walked away today? Would he have let himself lose the election? No. There's not a thing to hold up that gives merit to those arguments. So educate some of the people who are saying those things. I'm not saying you're going to make them Republicans, whatever. But educate people who are saying that, okay, look, you don't like him. Why don't you like him? Are you aware that he did this? No, I'm not aware that he did. Are you aware that he did this? No, I'm not. Okay, you don't have to completely like him. You don't have to come to this side. and frankly, maybe don't, because our side's broken as hell right now. But there has to be some recognition of great things done. Every president who's ever served in this country, Democrat or Republican, has done some good things, and they've done some bad things, according to the other side. There should be some of those things, though, that everyone says, you know what, that was baller, that was a good move. Thank God he did that for all of us. That was great. But it shows how much we hate each other in this country right now that they can't even bring themselves to do that. It's crazy. Pray that we can get this thing on track. I don't know if we can. But we need to be praying that we can. All right, so, man, we got a lot of serious problems. We're discussing them now. We discuss them every day on this show. A lot of them are outside of our control, but some are very much within. One that you can control is what's happening south of your border. UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support, but rest easy, UFMs do. Their patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions and move with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. UFMs are great for sports, work, everyday use. There's medical applications, tons of reasons to get them, all because of their unique adjustable support pouch, which allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support. Men, treat yourself right. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Let's keep that stuff together. Treat yourself right. Go to UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Head on over to UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save. Get your man something. Husband, boyfriend, sons, brother, whatever. Go do it. All right, so Biden inaugurated. I've got it going on my phone here to make sure nothing crazy happens. But he and Kamala Harris both sworn in. As we speak, the virtual inauguration, lots of flags, not a lot of people. Unless you're talking about the Guard, of course. Approximately 25,000 National Guard troops were there. And the whole thing was for optics. And the whole thing is embarrassing. Thankfully, I didn't see anyone kneeling during the national anthem. But the whole picture that happened today and the lead up to today, more importantly, was just embarrassing for our country. And what is scary, and the inauguration's the inauguration. There's people talking, people giving speeches. We're going to be great. He's talking about unity, which he doesn't understand. I'm sure there'll be some sound bites and stuff that we get into tomorrow. But as it's happening, what I want to talk about is what's scary about it. And the piece that we talked about this week, where National Guard troops were being vetted for their trustworthiness to determine whether they were extremists or not. And this, what I'm going to show you here is not necessarily radical here, but I want to show it to you. This was a briefing on it yesterday, Rule 3.
What can you tell us about the approximately a dozen or possibly more National Guard members who've been pulled off duty because of either posts on social media or other issues? How big of a threat do you think this is? Do you think there are more? And frankly, any details on this that you can provide, I think would be good, since obviously the general public is listening and watching this event with great concern. Thank you.
Lita, thank you for that question. And so we work very closely with law enforcement, and if there's any identification or anything whatsoever that needs to be looked into, out of an abundance of caution, we automatically pull those personnel off the line and make sure that they're not part of the mission set. And in certain cases, we make sure that we get them sent home. But we're in very close coordination also within our organization. We're kind of a family in the National Guard. We grow up together, we work together, and we keep an eye on each other. And if there's any indications, we immediately address it through the chain of command or law enforcement, the appropriate level of agency. But I'm not concerned as a large part of our organization. If you look at 25,000, we've had 12 identified, and some of those they're just looking into. It may be unrelated to this, but we want to make sure, out of an abundance of caution, as I stated earlier, that we do the right thing until that gets cleared up.
Yeah, Jonathan? So Lita, I don't want to get into the actual vetting and what the partner organizations have found, but much of the information is, as the general mentioned, is unrelated to the events taking place at the Capitol or to the concerns that many people have noted on extremism. These are vetting efforts that identify any questionable behavior in the past or any potential link to questionable behavior, not just related to extremism. But as General Hogenson mentioned, we're not asking questions right now. We're not asking questions of people who are flagged. We're, out of an abundance of caution, taking action and immediately removing them from the line of duty at the Capitol and the events taking place. And then we will address them, whether it's through law enforcement if necessary or through their own chain of command. But the point here is that we have the vetting processes that are in place. We also have, as General Hogenson mentioned, internal to the ranks as well. People have made it clear that if you see something, you should raise it. We are taking steps to ensure that there's no concerns. The American people should have confidence in the National Guard. They should have confidence in the law enforcement teams that are planning for this inauguration, ensuring that Vice President-elect or President-elect Biden has a safe and secure inauguration tomorrow.
All right, so again, nothing crazy there, but wanted to provide it for context because it's part of the conversation and that briefing happened. But what's crazy about all of this, there's some fairness in the points of what's being said by both sides, but what's crazy about it, if you really break it down, is that these people are already vetted. And they're concerned, and this is a knee-jerk reaction, but a very purposeful one on their part after the crazy events and incident on January 6th. So they don't want people that oppose them. They don't want people who are politically aligned differently, which, of course, in the National Guard, there's plenty that are, and you could argue a lot of them are. The military went strongly for Trump and typically does go for conservatives. But what the Biden administration and media don't understand about these men and women who are there today and have been there 4 days, weeks, and the same goes for people in intel, same goes for people in law enforcement, local, federal, what have you, is that these people do not sign up for a president, for their governor, for their mayor. They don't. No one has ever, I mean, if you've served, have a family member, a husband, a spouse, what have you, who served, you get it. But like, there is a different wiring that goes on in the brain of people like them, people like me, who've spent so much time serving this country, fighting for this country. They don't sign up for them. They didn't sign up for the National Guard because of Trump. They didn't sign up for the National Guard because of Biden or Obama or Bush or Clinton or Bush or whoever. They sign up because they love this country. And they will do their job no matter what. No matter what. I say it all the time. I disliked Obama. I still dislike Obama. I did not think he did a good job as president. I do not think he understands who America is and what America wants. I think he understands what he wants. I think he understands what a small fraction of America wants. But what he and that small fraction want is to radically change America, not embrace who we are, improve who we are, but not embrace it. Same thing can be said for this incoming administration. I don't think they understand who we are as a people. They are against our founding fathers. They are against so much of what made us who we are, the good and the bad. But these people who sign up and do this, they're a different breed. Some of them will spend a long time in the Guard. Some of them will transition to active duty. Some of them will sunset and move on to something else. But what made them sign up has nothing to do with politics and everything about doing their job and loving this country. And that's forgotten, and it's a smack in the face when you treat them this way. But now at least 12 were removed ahead of the inauguration. I don't know if that number changed as it got closer. You know, again, it's still going on now. But and they were labeled as extremists for their views. Views like following or supporting the NRA, Turning Point USA, other groups like it. That's who the FBI is cross-referencing against. And look, are there bad apples everywhere? Yes, there's a bad apple in the military. Of course, there's going to be bad apples in the military. There's going to be bad apples in law enforcement. There's going to be bad apples in intel. There's going to be bad apples at your local bank, what have you. But that's not the norm. And they're going after these guys, looking at their social media profiles, looking at you know, all sorts of stuff, saying, okay, does he support them? Is he on my team or is he on the other team? No, they're on America's team. That's where we've all gone wrong here. The mainstream media has made this problem so much worse. Both political parties have made this problem so much worse, my party included. The right is not without blame for where we are as a country. The right just generally loves the country and knows who we are better, understands veterans, people who serve, understands law enforcement, and that more than the other side. But all of this, as you're standing up on the stage talking about unity today, as you're leading up to today talking about unity, I'm going to be the president for all American people, unless you're against me. That's not how you start things off. It's not a good sign of what's to come. And again, I know there's people who go to the extreme up. They're going to start putting us, and then they've talked about some of them with big platforms, AOCs and the like, have talked about putting people on lists. That's not helpful. That's not, it fits the fascist ideals that they have, the way that they want to run government, the way that they want to run this country. It absolutely jives with that. But not every, it's not mainstream. Not everyone's thinking that. But when you start doing stuff like this, President Biden, gosh, I don't like saying that. But when you start doing stuff like this, it doesn't help take us back off that course. It puts us more on that course. It's not a good sign of what's to come. All right, real quick, podcast listeners, you can find us on every major podcast platform. Please check us out there. I know you can't always be in front of your screen, in your car. You might be in your car. You might be on, you know, a plane. You might be wherever. It's a good way to catch up with us. So check us out. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, all of them. We'd be so grateful if you'd head on over there. Give us a subscription, even if it's not the way that you consume it every day. But please still subscribe. Give us a good review. Helps us a lot. Also, head on over to DrewBerkquist.com. That is the best, most secure, and certain place that you will always find us. I know just yesterday there was an issue with one of the platforms getting the episode up. Someone went over there and checked it out. Thanks for doing that. Please keep doing that, guys. Bookmark it on your laptop, your computer, your phone, iPad, what have you. DrewBerkquist.com. You can watch the show, listen to the show, get news, commentary, all sorts of stuff going on there. Also, subscribe to the newsletter, please, while you're there. Please give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, Parler when it comes back here in a couple weeks. Subscribe down here in the corner on YouTube. If you have not, share, like, hit all the buttons. Not the bad ones, but hit all the positive buttons and share it with friends and family. Again, we're still getting squelched on here. Audience being taken from us. Views being suppressed. 16, 17, 1800% down. All of that. It's crazy. But we've got people to feed. We've got employees to take care of. So keep coming here. Subscribe. Do that. Go to Rumble too. Check it out there. Go everywhere. Share it everywhere. Rumble.com. Download the Rumble app. Subscribe to the show. This is my show with Drew Berkquist, or just search Drew Berkquist. You'll find it. All right, on the other side, we'll get to McConnell, who's still weak. He's even weaker now. It's disgusting. Show you what he said. We'll talk about that. We'll get into a little bit more after that, and then still some of your comments. Stick around. Life in America isn't what it used to be. What the liberal Democrats have planned for this country and your family would be devastating. At Mammoth Nation, we're committed to supporting conservative candidates. We also stand behind our police, military and veterans, the Second Amendment, and much more. In return for your patriotism, you get great discounts on things like hotels, shopping, wireless, and much more. Discover your Mammoth buying power today. Go to MammothNation.com and join now.
Only proper way to adjust your set.
Yeah.
Underwear for men. Set them once and done for all day comfort.
All right, welcome back, folks. This segment brought to you by Hero Soap Company. Like I always tell you, they're great people. They're a great company with great products. You got to check them out. Veteran-owned company. They do a ton to help homeless veterans get off the street, working with Operation Finally Home. which is a great program. You should check that out too. So they do all of that. Plus, their products are made with all natural essential oils. They're made right here in the USA. There's literally nothing not to like about them. So you've got to head on over to herosoapcompany.com, subscribe for a no contract monthly delivery of soap straight to your front door. Never run out again. You can use promo code Drew to save 10% while you're there. Also, while you're there, you can check out and purchase the Freedom Box, which you should. You can use promo code Drew and save 10% on that as well. Get one for yourself, your loved ones, your colleagues, anyone that smells. Go check it out. It's great stuff. They've got body washes there. There's stuff for men. There's stuff for women. You'll be glad that you did. I know that a lot of you have and have commented about how pleased you are with their products. So go support them. Again, herosoapcompany.com. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. All right, so Mitch McConnell doubled down on his absurd claim that President Trump incited the violent riots that happened earlier this month at the U.S. Capitol. Here was him speaking yesterday. Roll four.
The last time the Senate convened, we had just reclaimed the Capitol from violent criminals who tried to stop Congress from doing our duty. The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like. But we pressed on. We stood together and said an angry mob would not get veto power over the rule of law in our nation, not even for one night. We certified the people's choice for their 46th president. Tomorrow, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris will be sworn in. We'll have a safe and successful inaugural right here on the west front of the Capitol, the space that President Bush 41 called democracy's front porch. And then we'll move forward. Our work for the American people will continue as it has for more than 230 years. There are serious challenges that our nation needs to continue confronting. But there will also be great and hopeful opportunities for us to seize. Certainly, November's elections did not hand any side a mandate for sweeping ideological change. Americans elected a closely divided Senate, a closely divided House, and a presidential candidate who said he'd represent everyone. So our marching orders from the American people are clear. We're to have a robust discussion and seek common ground. We are to pursue bipartisan agreement everywhere we can and check and balance one another respectfully where we must. And through all of this, we must always keep in mind that we're all Americans. We all love this country, and we're all in this together.
I don't know that we're all in this together anymore, Mitch. I think that's maybe not the way to say it. And again, doubling down and saying something that's simply not true. I know the media pushed that narrative really hard. Democrats pushed that narrative really, really hard that President Trump incited this. And a lot of rhinos, malleable GOPers, bought it, hook, line, and sinker, went with it. And they're going to get their butts handed to them, by the way, in 2022 if we make it there. But even now, As you say that yesterday, Mitch, you again blame the president for inciting this. You blame other people for inciting this. And there are people who deserve blame for this, but it's not the president. And even the Washington Post, by the way, is now admitting it was not Trump who incited the violence. It was pre-planned. It was not him. CNN, last week, did the same. Now, okay, it wasn't President Trump. This was pre-planned. The FBI and all the law enforcement authorities are saying this. It's funny how they join in, lead their readers, viewers, whatever, whether it's a publisher or a network, down this path and just make their bold statements without any evidence or information to back it up. And you know it's true because they're doing it right as it's happening, where there's no possible way that anyone has any information yet. Of course, the FBI and people did, and they later, days later, said that, but they push it. They push it hard. Trump's bad. Trump's bad. Trump's bad. This was his fault. Then they retract it after the damage has been done. They've done it so many times. Another reminder, the Russian collusion thing was thrown out. Not true. Proven bogus. There's still people. Hillary Clinton was still talking about it this week. Even though it's been proven not true. Of course she is, because the reason it came up as documented now in declassified documents show that it was because they were trying to take attention off of her. But that was thrown out. This now, this latest impeachment garbage, the reasoning for, you know, it went through in the House, but the reason for why they did it, it was knee-jerk, it was fast, it was rushed, and now even the media, who hates the president, is saying, well, okay, he didn't incite it. You've still got McConnell and them doing it. Not smart. Guess you don't like your job, because people aren't going to take that anymore. But again, every smear campaign that DC and the media threw against him was thrown out. But after, and only after, it accomplished its goal of dividing the country, making more people dislike him, spin this narrative, allowing Dems to accomplish whatever they're trying to accomplish over here. It's a clever tactic that they get away with every time. I don't know how people don't see it happening in real time, because it's usually pretty obvious. Excuse me, but that's what they do. And no one, I'm telling you, no one. I'm a conservative. You know I'm a patriot. You know I love this country. Would die for this country. I've been in situations where that was not, you know, out of the realm of possibility. But I say this as just a normal American, excuse me, as a normal American here, which I guess is not necessarily a thing anymore, but no one should be okay with this. No one should be okay with how they're manipulating and playing this game. It's not helpful to the country. And that's why, excuse me, like yesterday, I think that there's lots of things coming. And I'm not the conspiracy stuff. You know, I hate the conspiracy stuff. Just lots of things coming in terms of the policies that the Democrats have said themselves, their words, not mine, that they want to do. That people are going to be like, oh, man, what did we do? What did we do? We bought into that. We listened to how he was awful. And I'm not saying you have to come full circle and love Trump, but you need to come full circle and see what's happening right in front of you. Because I think there's going to be a lot of people who are just like, crap. Yeah, we blew that. We totally bought into it. We gave the Democrats all the power now. We didn't appreciate some of the good things. Not everything was perfect. Not everything was good. We didn't appreciate some of the good things that President Trump did. And now here we are. Here we are. All right. Where do we go from here? Where are we? Talk a little bit about that. The other side of the break, we'll take some of your comments. It's all coming around, coming up. Stick around.
Life in America isn't what it used to be. What liberal Democrats have planned for this country and your family would be devastating. At Mammoth Nation, we're committed to supporting conservative candidates. We also stand behind our police, military and veterans, the Second Amendment, and so much more. You only get one vote. Mammoth Nation's here to make sure it counts. We need your support, so join Mammoth Nation today.
It's better than a donation. Savings from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Become a lifetime member today. Go to mammothnation.com.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
All right, guys, welcome back. Put a cough drop in. For whatever reason, I'm coughing up a storm today. I apologize. But here we are. Again, I see Reagan, Obama and all these people there right now. Inauguration going on. Post-inauguration stuff now, I guess. But this is where we are. This is where we are. And yeah, Andre, I mean, we kind of are. I'm not going to dispute that. But where we've kind of got to be now, and you're going to get pissed when I say this, but hear me out on it, because it's not exactly what I'm saying, but more kind of where I'm going with it. But I kind of challenge us all right now, because we're whether we like it or not, and a lot of us don't, a lot of people do. There's obviously some trolls here that love every bit of this. What goes around comes around. I'll just remind you, but I challenge us all to stop for a second. I've been saying this for the weeks leading up to this. Be patient. Take this all in. Think. Don't be emotional. Let's be smart here. But I challenge us all to root for Biden. I know you just got mad. To root for him to be not who we think he is. Now, I don't think he knows who he is anymore. Literally. Not just in terms of his principles, but I don't even know if he knows who he is. He's clearly lost it. And I'm not saying support him. I'm not saying any of that. So don't flip out. But I'm saying let's hope that we figure out what's going on our side, where we figure out what do we do here? Because we got absolutely manhandled by the big tech mainstream media machine this go around. They didn't have a better candidate. They didn't have, literally, Kamala Harris polled so horribly, she got her ass kicked in the primaries. Now they're saying she's exciting and great, which doesn't make any sense. But and then Biden is maybe the worst presidential candidate we've ever had in the history of this country. But they won because they had all these tools. They leveraged it. They play the culture war game. They play the social media game. They play it all so much better than the GOP does. And regardless of what you think on the election or not, all of that plays in, and that's a huge part. So I'm not saying support him. I'm saying, hey, let's hope that he and the party that just seized power are not as radical or can't accomplish as many radical things in the near term as we think that they will. And it's terrifying to think of what they'll do. And I totally think they are radical, to be clear. I don't know that he's radical. He's just not with it, so it doesn't really matter. But the people surrounding him are. So let's hope he gets enough Adderall to be able to say no to some things, to be able to think for some things. Again, while we figure out what the hell we're doing, we figure out what next steps are, because we need to. We got some huge problems on our side. Huge problems. We've got at least three factions on our side, if not more. That's not helpful. The country's tribal, huge problem. Our party's tribal, huge problem. To be clear, there's going to be things that he changes and does right away. We've talked about some of those things, what to expect on day one. That's going to happen, and they're going to hurt, some of them more than others. But those aren't nails in the coffin. Those are things that you would see with any president coming in from one part or the other. Everyone does that. On first day, I'm going to change this through executive order, blah, blah, blah. That should be expected. It's going to happen. But it's the radical stuff we have to be watching as we move forward, watching closely. Again, all the while we're figuring out what we do, while we reshape our party. Maybe there is another party. I don't know. Well, all of that's figured out. We need to be watching that, because what happens with DC and Puerto Rico statehood, really important. What happens with the filibuster, really important. What happens with the Supreme Court, really important. Those things right there fundamentally change who we are as a country. Those things happen. The GOP never, they might not, any as it is now, but the GOP certainly never wins an election again if that happens. What happens to those who don't support his presidency? We're seeing stuff with the National Guard this week. We're seeing stuff with big tech, everyone doubling and tripling down on how they handle things. What happens to our guns? What happens to the Second Amendment? What happens with the vaccine? Does it become mandatory? You have to agree and think this way. You have to have the vaccine or else. We are a freaking tinderbox right now, the United States of America. And we all know it. We all know it. And there's several things. A lot of those things I just listed. Several others that could set it off. You remember that scene in the movie The Rock with Nicolas Cage, Sean Connery? SEALs invade the prison. Alcatraz, they come in. Someone's got the high ground. Someone's got the low ground. Everyone's guns are drawn. And they're just talking. Let's figure this out. Rock gets, pun intended, I guess, but a rock gets knocked off and someone thinks it's gunfire. Everyone starts shooting at you. We're Tinderbox. We're in that scene from The Rock. If you know what I'm talking about, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're like, Drew's crazier than he normally is. But there's a lot of things that could tilt us or tip us over the edge. So we've got to be hoping and praying in the near term while we figure out what we're doing, that they don't go as hard to the hoop as we fear that they might. And by all accounts, they might. They might. But we've got to hope that, hey, maybe the moderate that when they first announced who is going to be in the primaries, I was like, you know what? I don't like him. He's accomplished nothing in 47 years. But at least Biden would be the least damaging to this country. He wouldn't get anything done because he never has. And he's not a radical leftist. He's just a weird, creepy dude. But he wanted power so bad, he wanted this position so bad that over time he clearly changed and is more amenable to those radical things as long as he gets to be in. As long as he gets to be the one puppeted around by the DNC and the louder voices within the Democrat Party. We're not in that spot anymore. But let's hope that some of that comes back in the near term. Again, it's going to take Adderall, whatever other heavy drugs. Well, we figure our stuff out. Because we're really, really close to some bad stuff happening, and there's so many things that could take us there. So my point in all that is let's prepare for the worst. Because I do believe it's coming in one form or another. But let's hope for the best. I'd love to be wrong on this. I'd be so happy to be wrong, have a crappy two years, figure out our stuff, make some big gains back in the House and the Senate, and then hopefully get things back on track in 2024. I just don't know. I don't know if it's going to work that way because, again, our party hates each other. Not exactly a strong position to be going into 2022 with. You can say it is in some sense because people want the other ones out, but not a strong position to be going into. And the things that this other side wants to do is absolutely terrifying and should terrify even people who are Democrat voters. Again, there's going to be people down the road saying, golly, we screwed that up. Wow, we screwed that up. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. All right. let's look at some comments here. John Copeland, I don't even know if he's here anymore, said early on, hashtag traitor Trump. That's not helpful. It's not true. It's not smart. It's just literally a dumb comment. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have to like him, but say smarter things. Tara Mama mentioned earlier, I think we were going into B block. I don't remember, but she mentioned that she already had a Bloody Mary going. Hey, there's no judgment here. Love it. Hopefully it's kind of spicy. That's how I'd recommend it, at least. You got to get the right mix. I don't, that's really the only drink that I'll mix because, of course, it's part of the drink. But otherwise, you just got to drink the alcohol. But you got to get the mix right on Bloody Mary. That's key. Adam Craig, seen some stuff from you. I agree with some stuff that I don't. But you said he was the only one in Washington who couldn't be bought. And you're absolutely correct. And that is why, going back to my point earlier today, that no one celebrated his successes, as many as there were. I'm not saying everything he did was a home run, but there was a lot of them. None of them talked about. And the reason they weren't is because he scared them to death. He scared Republicans to death, Democrats to death, the mainstream media to death, because they were so comfortable in the world that they were living in. And he came in like a bull in a china shop and started breaking stuff and exposing stuff. So their only recourse was to go after him without relenting for 4 years, more than 4 years. You count leading up to his inauguration and what will be, without a doubt, the weeks and months ahead. And that's what, again, people will come to understand that hopefully at some point that didn't. But that's what made him so remarkable, is he was the outsider that America needed. He was the president that America needed at the time, like him or not. Audacity's already named tons of successes. Open your eyes, go listen to it. Drop your emotion for just a second and look at the stuff. You don't have to like the man, but there was a ton of successes. I listed them all earlier in the show. Not going to do it again, but you can go do it. All right. Debbie, I should I probably won't be running for office. Just letting you know. Appreciate the compliment. Try to see both sides, talk to both sides, make it about America. But I just, that's not me. You can't accomplish anything in DC the way things are set up. So it's kind of frustrating that you're at that point, but I don't see that happening. But I do appreciate the compliment and the suggestion. I'll think about it. But not exactly something I'm thinking about in the near term here. All right. So I'll do this one. Big Caesar, we need a new party. I've talked about this on the show before. You might be right. And I go back and forth on this. And this is something that we could talk about Friday on the Booze and Banter live stream, 4 p.m. You got to check it out. Bring a drink. If you don't drink, that's fine. Bring one for me. We'll figure out a way to pass it through the World Wide Web there. But we're at the point where it's really tricky because the GOP does not represent most conservatives anymore. You could argue they never have, but they certainly don't now. So that leads you to that thought of, okay, well, we need a new party. But then you look at, traditionally speaking, when you split the party, it almost guarantees that you will not win major elections. You're just going to rob each other, and the other side will keep their base and win. So that's a fair argument. Well, if we do that, we'll never win again. Okay. The flip side of that comment, and where I struggle with it is the Dems have all the power right now. They control Congress, they control the Senate, and they control the White House. If they can push through some of those things we talked about earlier, some of the radical changes, we'll never win an election again. So then I see the sense and the reason for that party. Not because that party will necessarily win, but at least so you will know who's on your team. And that's where I see the value in having another party. Again, it's not necessarily a plan that ensures victories moving forward. It probably doesn't. But it starts to align people with the people who you want to be aligned with, knowing who they are. You've got the rhinos who really are Dems. You've got the crazy further right folks who are in their own camp. And then you've got the traditional Constitution, America-loving people who want their elected representatives to actually go and do their job and represent the America that was founded, has been improved upon, and gotten us to this point here. So we'll see. I don't know. I go back and forth on it. It really kind of depends on what these Democrats actually push for in these next 2 years. If they go after, you know, DC, Puerto Rico statehood, if they go after the filibuster, if they go after packing the court, some of these things, I don't think it matters whether we do one or not. If they don't, I think we just have to improve the GOP, get rid of the dead weight, and get in new fresh blood. People who won't go there to play the game, people who want to just get stuff done, which that's hard to find. It's hard to find those people. Vicious Triplets, do I feel safe from foreign enemies now that Biden's in power? No. And not to say anything other than, look, you look at historically, and I can tell you firsthand from operating under overseas, you know, in the fight, multiple places, working with our people high level, working with foreign leaders high level, how the world looks at, you know, the way America handles things. The peace through strength model works. They respect that. Not our enemies hate it, of course, but they respect that. And you look at how we were walked over, particularly by Russia, particularly by China, Iran, several others during this previous administration, during the Biden-Obama administration, I should say. And they love it. They will take advantage of it. So I feel like something major will happen. No, not necessarily. But I feel like we will once again be weakened, and they will, you know, they're trying to catch us. When we are ashamed of who we are, apologetic for who we are, and we get weaker, we start to come down and they start to gain more ground. And that's what I think is going to happen. That's what's going to make things vulnerable and put us in a bad spot. The citizenship for immigrants is going to be a big problem, too. Unrelated to what I was just saying there, but commenting on what people are saying there. So, we'll see. You're right, Bravo Tango Shepherd. America being in shambles, being divided, being at each other's throats. This is absolutely, and don't think they didn't have a hand in it. They did. I mean, intelligence operations, the stuff that happens behind the scenes that push people to a certain spot is what we do at other places. It's what other countries do to us. And they are absolutely thrilled. China, Russia, Iran, so many other places that were divided, were fragile, were a tinderbox, as I was saying earlier. This is exactly what they love to see. And it's exactly what all of our allies and people who are just kind of in between around the world do not want to see. Because again, the world, there's a lot of people here who hate America, are ashamed of who we are, think that we overstep. Okay, you haven't been over there and seen and done the things. You haven't seen what they say and think. The world wants us to be strong. The world needs us to be strong in a cohesive country on top, because that's where we've had more peace. That's where we've had more stability. And that's where we've been able to help other people while also helping ourselves. But they are happy as can be right now. Happy as can be right now to see us where we are and to now see someone in office that they can take advantage of. And trust me, they will. They will. Yeah, Iran is licking their chops. They certainly are. Gonna rejoin the army just in case. Hey, you do you, man. I'm all for it. Hey, guys, listen. You know, Ron, we appreciate you joining today. Two more live shows. This is my shows this week, and then we'll have Booze and Banter as an extra thing Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. So remember, 12 tomorrow. 12 Friday, but then also 4 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Bring your drinks. There's a lot to talk about. I'm going to take lots of questions. We'll go back and forth. Have a good time. Have a great day.